Hey, good morning, Eastern Oregon, and welcome to this April 9th version of AM Live on EOA, your connection to Eastern Oregon, on the EOA network. And here in just a bit, we're going to have Union County Commissioner Donna Beveridge with us on the show.
Yep.
How are you?
Morning. Good. Second Monday.
Second Monday.
Already here. Just flies.
My day yesterday, my days have like just been nutso.
Yeah, so, me too. Just run together.
Yeah. So.
See, the Powerball's gone.
Yeah. So somebody won.
In Oregon.
You
were
talking about a little
Oregonians
bit about
never win that.
Yeah.
It's usually California or, yeah, but an Oregonian in Portland. I was just reading the lady who sold the ticket gets a $100,000 bonus. A Plaid Pantry employee. That's life-changing for a Plaid Pantry
employee. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that she'd be working much longer at Plaid Pantry.
Oh, it's only $100,000. Nowadays, that don't last long, right? But that's probably 5 years worth of work at Plaid Pantry.
Right. Yeah.
Most of those are part-time employees.
You know, yeah, I mean? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully you could buy a house or buy a, I don't know.
You could buy a travel trailer for $100,000. You can't buy a house. What are you going to buy? Like, even here, $100,000 ain't getting
you. Well, you put a down payment on something.
Yeah, you could put a down payment on something.
You'd certainly get a better car if you were driving a junker. You
know? Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I know I would.
At least a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah. So, no, but how much is the cash payout was like?
600,000 probably.
Yeah.
600 million.
600 million.
Yeah, 600,000. 600 million. BC. I wouldn't even know what to. Gosh, I would. Oh gosh, that would be really bad for me. I think.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think it would be.
Yeah.
I think it's bad, really bad for most.
Yeah,
people.
You'd be calling.
More.
You'd be calling from your island.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, will you bring me an iced tea?
I'll just call in the sports report once a month.
I was going to say, I don't think there'd be people be like, what happened to Dodson?
No, I wouldn't quit. I'll probably still work for a while.
He's on the island.
If I won the lottery, I don't think I would quit. Doing what I do. Like, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I mean, 600 million. People say money doesn't make people happy, but money gives you time.
Yeah.
And time makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to work, you have time.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
So money does bring happiness. That's the biggest lie ever in my eyes. Like, yeah. It makes life easier.
But you'd never have anything before noon.
No. No. Unless it was fishing. I'll get up to go fishing.
Yeah, you'd never have.
I get up for this. I get up for this. I'd much rather be getting up for fishing.
For fishing?
Yeah.
What kind of fishing?
Any kind.
Anything.
Yeah, I just don't do it anymore very often. I used to fish a lot. But just,
So like, fishing off the shore.
I prefer fishing in the ocean.
Right.
But I fished everywhere around here. I fished the river. I fished all the reservoirs, the dam, up Looking Glass. Used to fish Artie Mack ponds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fished the creeks out in the valley, like on my uncle's property, for little brook trout. It's so fun.
Yeah.
They had these neighbors, the Etchemendes. They moved away. But he had the most beautiful fishing hole, and he'd let me fish it. Oh, man. You just drop it in, boop, every time. And I always just throw them back because I don't like land. I'm not a huge trout dude, and then I also don't like landlocked fish. So I don't. The only real landlocked fish I'll eat is kokanee, but it's not really landlocked because it goes up the river.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does what a salmon does. It's
yeah.
just basically a small salmon.
Huh.
But I don't like pond trout or, you know them ones that they raise in the farm?
Yeah.
And they put up here in Morgan Lake or whatever? You get to about, like, July, those things start softening up because the heat, ugh.
Not going to do that?
Oh, no. I don't see how people eat those, the trout that are raised in farms.
Yeah.
their whole life they're fed them pellets until they're put out into the wherever they're being stocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not good tasting in my eyes. I'd much rather have a lingcod or something off the coast. But those things are eating garbage too. I mean, we dump all. I was watching this show, and it was like these people that travel all around on a boat,
right?
And they fish, and they, you know, they just do whatever. And she was explaining what they do with the bathroom. They even throw their paper in the ocean. Huh. They throw everything that's biodegradable in the ocean, including their human waste.
Who does?
The people in boats.
In boats, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it will decompose, they put it in the ocean.
Yeah.
No matter if it takes 10 years to decompose, they put it in the ocean. And it's not illegal.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. It's gross.
Hi. Yeah.
They just figure there's so much water that you'll never know. But
it dilutes it.
Every time, you know, like, you're in the ocean and you get a little water in your mouth, you're getting poo and pee. But that's every water, I guess.
Right. But you're right. The amount of fluid, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, for a while they had, especially after 9/11, there was that fear that open water sources might be
contaminated
or attacked, or whatever the case might be. But, and so then they covered all of the, and that's the, I mean, there was, over a period of years, they've covered all of those water sources
for
that
purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. But it takes, I mean, when you calculated it to poison one of those reservoirs, you literally have to back up a semi and dump. I mean,
you'd be a lot better off attacking food.
Yeah. Because it just takes so much. I mean, it's just, and they calculate that all by parts per million.
Yeah, but it's still just to think about all the stuff that's in the, you know, like you're.
Yeah, but if you go down that road.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't like landlocked fish, too. Right, because you're talking like a small little pond like R.D. Mac.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's in that? Yeah. Is there a dead body in there in the bottom of it? Or,
well, you know, but the point, the point is that when you get down to the parts per million, there's a lot of stuff that you take in that's probably
let's not talk
really
about
good.
That anymore. Yeah.
All right. You want to do sports?
Let's do it.
All right.
AM Sports Report brought to you by Buffalo Peak Golf Course. Go out there and see Dana. The weather's starting to get nice. He's done a great job. 18-hole links-style course out past Union. Take a left, go up the mountain, and check it out, man. The pro shop's cool. He's got that pro shop from the first time I went into it to now. It's just a completely different world in there. Go out there and see Dana and his team. Buffalo Peak, meet me at the peak. EOU softball, man, they had an awesome weekend. So they come into the weekend ranked number 19 or ranked number 15. They're taking on the number one team in their conference, the undefeated Yotes of College of Idaho. Now, yeah, the Yotes are undefeated. They hadn't played anybody yet. And I say anybody, I mean any of the big three, Southern, OIT, and EOU. This was their first test of the year, and the Mounties, the Yotes did not pass the test. Saturday in the first game, Kaylee Hoskins threw 10 shutout innings in an extra inning thriller. Haley Tyree had the game-winning hit in the bottom of the 10th. It was a walk-off. And then in the second game, we were down 2-0 in the fourth when rain suspended that game. We picked it up on Sunday, and Kylie Parsons is on the mound for the Mounties again, and the Mounties scratched together 4 wins and run her record to 12-0 on the season, and win game 2. She starts game 3 and pitches the first 4 innings, shutout ball. Kaylee Hoskins comes in, finishes it off. EOU shuts out the Yotes in game 3 for the 3-game sweep for conference, and Parsons got her 13th win. And here's the crazy thing. We keep winning pitcher of the week. We didn't win it this week because they can't give it to us every week. They should have. I mean, right. Kaylee should have got it again. She pitched 13 innings of shutout ball again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Against the number 19 team in the country and the number one team in the conference.
Yeah.
And so, that was just an awesome weekend. It was fun to see the excitement, the electricity. This team's got a lot of momentum going right now. They've won 10 games in a row. We'll talk about their schedule coming up. There was another cool thing. Our own Le Grand Tiger, Grace Neer, was in the game for the Yotes. She came in and pitched an inning, and it was really fun to see her. You know, it's always awesome to see kids that, you know, I covered while they were here at Le Grand, and I've taken lots of pictures of her, and for her to come back, I'd much rather she was in the gold and blue than the purple, but you know, she's having a good time there at C of I, and they're a good team, and it was a fun weekend for softball. EOU baseball lost 3-4 to Corbin this weekend. Two of the three losses, though, were one-run games, including a bottom of the 11th loss to Corbin. The bases were loaded. I saw the video. One out, the Corbin hitter's up, and he kind of check swings, and the ball goes down the first baseline, and they think it's foul. They grab it, run scores, game's over. And so EOU drops 3-4. They host OIT this weekend for Ford Optimus right down here, you know, and that should be a good series. I mean, OIT's good. Hopefully we can scratch together a couple wins there. They still won five times as many games as they won last year. So I'd say it's a successful season so far for EOU baseball. EOU track and field had a good weekend at the Whitworth Peace Meet. Scotland Hill finished fourth in the 400 hurdles for the women, and the 4x100 relay team ran a 4.85 for the ladies, which is good enough for third place at this meet. And then Osman, his name's so cool you got to say it twice, became the third Mountie ever to run a sub 49 second 400, and that's a pretty good achievement for him. Hunter Nichols and Justin Ash both hit an A standard in a 3,000 meter steeplechase, which is cool. A standard means that's an automatic qualify for nationals. That's what you're pushing for, you know. In outdoor track, you can qualify through the conference meet, not an indoor, I believe. And then you can also qualify by hitting standards. Bryson Spears got third in the 400 hurdles and hit an A standard as well. Here's a look at the sports schedule for EOU this week, courtesy of EOU Athletics, and you'll get to see where softball, baseball, and track and field are. LHS Wrestling had six girls placed this weekend at the Reno Worlds Tournament. Congratulations to all of them, man. That's awesome. The Reno Worlds is no joke. Paige Allen got second. Aubrey Pinther got third. Christian Azure got fourth. Maddie Armstrong got fourth, Riley Robinson got fifth, and Lindy Isaacson got fifth. Lindy Isaacson's our state champion, our first state champion at Le Grand for girls. LHS baseball dropped both ends of a non-league double dip to Philomath on Saturday, 4-6 and 3-7. They play at 3 p.m. in Walla Walla today. They are currently 3-5 and 1-1 in the GOL. And LHS softball ran their record to a perfect 8-0 with a 21-0 rout. And I was talking to one of the players' sister this weekend at EOU softball. And we got to get better games. The softball team's got to play better teams, in my eyes. It's doing us no good to beat teams 21-0.
Yeah.
And so it's like they got to find better non-league games than, you know, spending a weekend. They had fun. They got to go to the Oregon State game. They got to watch one of their old teammates play at Oregon State. But that you go to a team and you beat them 21-0, it does nothing for either team.
Right.
It's just, you know, I'd like to see them play some tougher competition. Maybe play up, play some of these 5A teams. Maybe try to get some games with, like, Dallas. That's two times in a row. Anyways, the Tigers hit four home runs. Maddie Sievert had one. Benny, you want to put that picture up? Okay. Maddie Sievert hit one. Kaylin Harnack each had a home run. And Carly Strand had two home runs. And that's the other thing I've been talking about. Like, I think they need to move the fences back in softball. There's just too many home runs. Mm-hmm. If you look at like the college level, especially like NCAA, the leading home run person is like a home run a game. That's too many. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In baseball, you're looking at like 25 home runs in 50 games, 60 mm-hmm. games. That's about. But man, when we're going somewhere and hitting four home runs, and you know, like I think this team's already hit over 20 home runs, mm-hmm. and it's just I understand what the problem is. It would cost too much money to move the fences back in every single high school and college
right,
stadium.
Yeah.
But just with the advancements of bats, the bigger, faster, stronger, like it shows. I mean, there's a lot of home runs. Last thing, LHS Wrestling is having their auction and steak dinner, which is going to happen on April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's really cool. The tickets are $30 a person, $50 a couple, $80 a family. You can contact me here at EO Alive if you need a ticket. This thing, they raise a ton of money for the wrestling team. And at the end, if there's meat left over, which there is every year, mm-hmm. you get for $20, they let you fill up a plate. Like you pay an extra $20 and they let you fill up a plate. And a couple years ago, I had a plate of tri-tip that was like, it was like 5 days worth of, that's all I ate for 5 days. It was awesome. It was really cool. AM Sports Report brought to you by Buffalo Peak. Meet me at the peak.
All right. Good stuff. I was at the 4-H, not the 4-H, the fairgrounds fundraiser last night. And we had, that was really good tri-tip last night. So, yeah, well, let's look at outside. And it's the weather's been kind of nice. I mean, yesterday was beautiful.
And yeah, yesterday wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. Did you notice it getting dark at all during the eclipse?
No.
I didn't either.
I was in here.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I took one of the cameras out and I couldn't see where it was making any difference, but
Dana said the bat is the problem. It's the bat and the fact that girls are bigger, stronger, faster. You should have seen them Sea of I girls. Every one of them was just like in good shape. Like,
yeah.
Looked like they squat 300 pounds. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, just.
Yep.
Yeah, just there's kids are bigger, stronger, and faster nowadays.
Yep.
Anyways, back to the weather.
All right. What is the weather graphic here? So 57 today, 31 tonight. And it looks like that for the next several days, it's going to be sunny. I guess we have
rain on Friday.
Maybe on Friday, yeah.
PM thunderstorm, 71% chance of rain.
Looks like it, but the rest of those days would be good golf weather, Dana.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I want to be sure and mention one of our sponsors this morning, Valley Insurance. At 1215 Adams Avenue, downtown in LeGrand. They do auto, home, business, and life insurance, along with many other different types of insurance. They are an independent insurance agency. So in other words, they can, as serving you as their customer, they just have a lot of choices. So they can find something that fits your needs. Be sure and check them out in downtown LeGrand, in the old Umpqua Bank building downtown. They redid that. You should be good. It's really nice inside of there. They just totally redid the inside of that building, and that's a nice business. So Joel and Matt own that business downtown LeGrand. Be sure and go check them out. So here in just a minute, Union County Commissioner Donna Beveridge is going to be with us right after this.
Eastern Oregon is full of interesting people with interesting minds and interesting things to say. Here at EO Live, we're committed to connecting you to these intriguing people with EO Talks. We let our special guests share their ideas and life experiences with deep, open, engaging, and inquisitive conversations. You'll also be informed in depth on some of the most recent and relevant events, issues, and more. EO Talks on EO Live, your connection to Eastern Oregon, now on Roku. We'll be right back.
That's all right.
Without a list, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, we're back with Commissioner Donna Beveridge right here in the studio. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Good
morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Morning.
And you were at the...
Fairgrounds. Fundraiser.
I don't know why I want to say 4-H, but yeah. Yeah, the Fairgrounds fundraiser last night.
Yeah, so, you know, that was just showing community support for the project that we've been trying to get pushed through for several years, which is to get real plumbing and septic system at the fairgrounds so that we can have something besides porta potties.
Yeah.
And be able to use it for more than just the fair, but for other activities and possibly if there was an emergency in the county, that kind of thing. But, you know, fairgrounds are used for many things. We just need to get some real restrooms there. So that was what that fundraiser was, to show, you know, community support. And I thought it went awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of support.
Now, and I think they said this is the second year they have done this.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
So who was it? Did they have kind of a 501c3?
I believe it's called Friends of the Fairgrounds.
Right, but it's a fundraising organization for...
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit that's a fundraising for the fair. And it was nice to see, Representative Levy there, who's our representative, and, Todd Nash, who's from Wallowa County, running for senator, and many other of you...
Candidates
that were running for commissioner. I believe there was at least four of you there, so that was nice to see. And and just all the community people that care about it and that, bid on the flowers and the goodies, all the goodies, the brownies and Rice Krispie treats and all the goodies that everybody brought. It was very nice.
Yeah, and I thought so. And Paul, it was funny, Paul Anders jokes. He said, yeah, these days you can have an event and at least 9 people will show up. And he was referring to the 9 commissioner candidates. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. And so I had to leave early. Right after the meal, I left and went out to the Union City Council meeting.
Oh, did you? Okay. Because last
night
there was LeGrand, Island City, and Union.
Right.
I was supposed to be at the Union, but what I did is I just gave them the presentation they needed from me.
Yeah.
So that I could go to this, because I can't be 2 places at once.
No, I know. And I had 3 things almost simultaneously last night. It was like...
I know Commissioner Scarfo went there, and then he went to LeGrand City Council, then he went to Island City City Council. So, yeah. As commissioners, we're liaisons to different towns. We try to make sure that we keep those relationships with all of our cities.
Right.
And not just be in silos, working in silos. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the city council members, you know, expressed their appreciation for me showing up and being there and so on and so forth, and felt like, their comment was is that sometimes Union feels a little bit left out. In the sense of that it doesn't get as much attention as LeGrand
and I
can certainly understand all of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody feeling that way.
Yeah.
I think part of this is to your credit, is Union's got a lot going on. I mean,
I wouldn't credit myself, but yeah, Union does have a lot going on.
No, you guys started a main street.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own chamber of commerce out there.
Yes, we've had that for 20 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I just see a real concerted effort.
Yeah, and we all work together. I'm the president of the chamber in Union, and we all work together because it's for the betterment of the area. And we don't look at it just as what better is better for Union. We want it to be better for our whole area.
Right.
So we like to work together, and if Cove, needs something, we help them. North Powder, we have some people coming from the Grand this week that want to get some ideas from us, so they're going to come over and visit and get a tour and stuff. So,
the candidate fair or the candidate
forum at the community center.
It was out at the community, and that was that's nice. I mean, tell me, how did that work out?
Six of us ladies in union. It had been for sale for a couple of years, and it hadn't sold yet. And six ladies got together, me being one of them, and started talking to the Methodist Church about possibly making it into a community center. So we formed a nonprofit, and they were gracious enough to work with us, thinking that was a great idea. Mm-hmm. And that was a little over 3 years ago. So it gets used every day, many times, several times a day, and it's a great community center. Plus, a church rents it on Sundays and Wednesdays. And it was community support. We started with a fundraiser like they did at the fairgrounds last night. And we got about $25,000 in local donations to show them that our community really, you know, wanted to make this into a community center. So it worked out really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, are they doing some repair on the windows?
So we got a grant to get some of the windows repaired. Now, the windows weren't really broken, but they've been there since 1905.
So they hadn't been...
So we needed to kind of reinforce some of them.
Right.
And so we took us a long time to find a company. We finally found one in Colorado, and they'll be bringing them back on April 17th. So we're going to do a big article when they're going to reinstall them. But they just kind of put, you know, new lead and different things to reinforce them for another 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know sometimes they take and sandwich the old window between a couple of others or something. I don't know. But
yeah, they're experts at it. We had many people that, you know, said, we'll fix them, but we wanted somebody that had done it, did it for a living, and these people do it. So they put those boards up, and then they'll come remove those, put the windows back in.
Yeah.
So by the end of April, we'll have them back in.
Yeah, because that has always just been, I've been in that sanctuary several different times, and that is just such
a beautiful.
Oh yeah, that really is
all
beautiful.
All the wood, and it's really nice.
Well, what else is going on in county business?
The short session just got over.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's many things there that like the Measure 110. We're hoping that's going to work out moving forward, where law enforcement will have a little more teeth to deal with drug crime and that kind of thing. There were a lot of things that we weren't able to get through, but we're still working on. That's why, for example, the fairgrounds project. That's why we appreciated that some of our legislators were there last night. This time of year, we're talking weeds, all this rain.
Right.
The weeds are growing, so our weed department will be getting busy on that. The road department didn't have much snow this year, so that's been nice.
Yeah.
They've been busy, having their list and working on some road things that they were able to do that they probably wouldn't have been able to do if they were busy plowing snow.
Right.
And
the reason is that it didn't cost them as much.
Exactly.
It costs.
When you have to plow, it takes a lot out of your budget.
Right.
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 That you don't really, because you never know from year to year how much snow you're going to get. So I'm happy when we get snow, but at the same time, it's not good for our road budget.
Right.
So
But so then.
Leave it in the mountains so it'll come down later.
They didn't have as much expense in keeping the roads clear.
So they can use it for road maintenance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, wolves, we were just in Pendleton. Saw you there. We were in Pendleton last week with Congressman Bentz, mm-hmm. Talking about wolves and wanting to delist them. There was a really good crowd there, probably 100 people at least.
Yeah, I think so too.
And, a lot of good testimony that day. So that was just another case of one of our legislators or congressmen wanting to know what the public has to think, about a situation So that was really good.
Yeah, and from what I understand, and I learned quite a bit there, initial response is, I know the wolves story, I know how they impact us locally, I don't, but I learned a lot going there anyhow. Mm-hmm. And so Oregon has delisted them. But not nationally, is that correct?
No.
Yeah.
There's a part of Oregon. It's not really completely delisted anywhere, we're in stage three here on the east side. But no, Oregon hasn't delisted them.
Okay.
Yeah. The big thing is what you just said is you went there and you learned a lot.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I always still learn a lot, no matter what meeting I go to. And an interesting fact that I learned that day was, I believe it was Idaho, where they said there used to be 150 moose.
Right.
And there's no moose left because
right.
of the wolves. So, yeah. you know, even though we think that we know an issue, the more that we listen to other people and learn, the better informed we are to make decisions when the decisions actually come back to us. A lot of times they don't come back to us, but it's important to listen and learn so that, you know, we make informed decisions. So that was very helpful for me to go there and listen and learn. So.
Yeah. Well, and there was somebody from U.S. Forest Service or...
Mm-hmm. USDA, Wildlife Services.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and ODFW.
ODFW, mm-hmm. and then who was sitting beside ODFW?
I believe that was another ODFW person.
Okay. No, but that was... The thing that kind of came through my head was the difference between the state ODFW and then the national wildlife mm-hmm. people. And is that, but I'm trying to, was that Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service or?
No, it was U.S. Wildlife Services. So basically what they would do is they have people on the ground locally
right.
that will help with different situations that you have.
Right.
You know, with predators and that kind of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a federal agency, but they do have local people on the ground in each county that are very helpful. But it's good that they all work together and not in silos to try to solve the problem and not do a one-size-fits-all on anything, because different areas have different problems.
Right. Well, and and you could tell that there were a lot of ranchers that were not necessarily happy mm-hmm. or a lot of cattlemen
right.
that were not necessarily happy with
right.
with you know, some of the people that were there. But I was really, I mean, I connected with the ODFW guy. He's
yes.
in this area, and I mean, he's going to come on the show and
right.
and talk about
yeah,
some of those issues.
I was very impressed that
right.
day. Some jobs are hard, and
right.
not everybody's going to agree with you.
No.
And you, and I just appreciated that he was there and that he talked about the changes that are being made there,
right.
where they're starting to work with the local people. And so, being a public servant, or not a public servant necessarily, he's not elected, but I'm just saying, in a situation like that, you know, sometimes people are going to disagree with you, and to be able to have a respectful conversation. And
right.
talk about, you know, what you can and can't do, and maybe things that you are going to work on changing.
Right.
I was very impressed.
Well, and the other thing I learned was is that, so ODFW, they are supposed to manage the overpopulation of wolves, or when they get in trouble. Manage meaning eliminate some of them or move them or whatever the case might be. And in the minds of the cattlemen, they haven't managed them enough. So they've managed them some, but not enough. And so that was where a lot of the conversation mm-hmm. was. A lot of the conversation mm-hmm. was, you know, are they managing them enough? So in other words, if there's a whole pack of wolves that are continually getting in trouble, mm-hmm. you know, rather than eliminating just a pair, eliminate that entire pack. And they're, you know, and mm-hmm. so...
And
that was an interesting yeah. conversation.
That was a conversation that day, and we always need to remember that employees have to follow what's
of course,
told from them above. So
right.
Just having that conversation was very good, and I appreciate Congressman Bentz coming and having that, and he'll have other ones too, but it was good to have that one in Pendleton, and those are the conversations that help us do better in the future. So.
Right, but I like that... And Cliff was looking at what he could do on a national basis, but there was also a lot of conversation about what's happening in Oregon at the
right.
state level.
Yep.
And that, I mean, that the ODFW heads, you know, they make a choice on whether they're really going to follow a management plan or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in a lot of different issues mm-hmm. at that upper level of Oregon, is just that Oregon might have a law to do this,
mm-hmm.
but there are times that people just, you know,
that's, you know, that's where your commissioners, your elected
right.
officials come in, because we're there to, you know, represent the people in our
right.
county. to our Oregon legislators and our federal partners. So that's kind of our job, is to be that liaison on top of all the local things that
right.
we work on,
right.
but to be the voice for the people that we represent.
Yeah, keep reminding people that, like, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
You know, the state not following through in this does make a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, no, I felt like that was a really helpful conversation.
Good. Yeah. I thought so, too.
Yeah.
It was nice that we only had to go to Pendleton for it. A lot of times we have to travel a lot further, so.
Oh, really?
That was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all three Union County Commissioners were there.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, so what else is going on?
We are working on our budget now. So springtime is budget time. And so we have our department heads turn in their budgets to our budget officer and start working through that. And then we have our budget meetings. We start in May. We have the budget meetings. Then we approve it in June. But that's kind of a big deal right now, is everybody looking at those numbers. Some costs are going up, like insurance and stuff like that. Some things that we have no, control over.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some things that we're working on top of our regular meetings. Today I have a meeting with OWRD, Oregon Water Resource, and, they're wanting to make some changes to some of their rules and laws. So I'll be on a 2-hour call with them. And, you know, once I hear what changes they're proposing, then I can start making comments. There's always something like that going on besides just the local stuff,
right.
the fairground project. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you, I've been a part of the LeGrand City budget process several times. Mm-hmm. How do you guys have several evening meetings, or how do
we
you
have
actually?
We have three evening meetings.
Okay.
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. so.
And we have budget officers that are,
right.
that aren't,
they're citizens.
They're right. citizens, that's
okay.
correct.
Mm-hmm. And so then how big is that budget committee, including?
I'm trying to remember. I think there's 6 or 7 of us. I think 7.
Okay.
Altogether.
Okay, mm-hmm. including the three commissioners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys kind of just.
Well, we have presentations from
okay.
each of the parts of our county,
right.
they come and they do a presentation on their budget. That way the budget committee can ask them questions or, that kind of thing. So there's presentations for the first two nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of go over it and have discussion on that third evening. And then eventually it goes to the commissioners for approval.
So when do those budget meet? Is that the end? Is that sometime
in May?
Yeah,
they're all in May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're already on our website. So I don't remember the exact dates, but you could check our website and get the dates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're all in the evening.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier if somebody, the public, wanted to come and listen. But they can also listen on Zoom. So
yeah.
That's one good thing that came out of COVID, is that we can Zoom if we need to.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. I've tuned into a couple of the Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. And
well,
so.
Sometimes you can't travel somewhere,
yeah.
Or if it's a 2-hour meeting, you don't want to travel 6 hours for a 2-hour meeting, and
right.
saves the county money and saves you time, so you can go to another meeting later after that or whatever. So
no, I had a Rotary board meeting last night, and there were 3 of us that were going to be in person and 3 of us that were going to be remote.
Okay.
And so we decided to just have the entire meeting remote. And
okay.
And just out of convenience, and one
right.
of the guys was in their car listening, and the other guy was
right.
watching kids at home, and
it makes it handy.
It really does.
It does.
I mean, we wouldn't have had a quorum without that, and so,
right.
so that, it can be, yeah, it's a little artificial feeling, and you don't quite have the feeling, but it gets business done. So.
Right.
You don't have the remote meetings. You don't have the people paying attention either.
Yeah,
like you
right.
don't have
a lot of
their
times. They'll
focus.
Be looking the other
yeah.
direction.
I've been in numerous meetings where people are mm-hmm. turning their camera off and they're just listening, but they ain't paying attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like
mm-hmm.
It's
better to be in person if you can.
Yeah.
But like I said, if it's a 2-hour meeting that you had to drive, 6 hours one way for, you're gonna, you can pay attention if you want, right?
Right,
if it's important. And then you can also save a lot of money and time, especially if you have several other meetings that day.
They are very convenient.
They are convenient.
For sure, but they're also...
But you're right. It doesn't always...
There's a dis...
It's better to be in person if you can.
There's a disassociation, attachment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people now, I shut my camera off for a different reason. Not because I'm not paying attention. I just don't like being on camera.
Is that it?
That is it.
That's what all the people who don't pay attention
No, say. I can't stand being on camera, so you guys are stressing me here.
Well, you're doing good. I have been that participant that is just barely tuning in.
So have I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But on the same hand, like if I'm in charge of the meeting, I mean, last night our hour long meeting was done in 38 minutes or something like that, you know.
Oh,
so,
right. Mm-hmm.
But I had an event to get to too. So we.
Right. Exactly. You had other events or meetings to go to too.
Right. Yeah. So it made, right. Yeah. So it made it pretty convenient from that standpoint. But it mm-hmm. is, but what you miss is, you know,
for the people, interaction with
right,
other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of team building and teamwork that
That's
happens
true.
before the meeting, you know, comes into session or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean that you just, that stuff really matters. That
I
relational
agree.
Stuff really matters.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple other things I'm on. I'm on an economic team that's with City of LaGrande, LaGrande Main Street. So Timothy with uh-huh. City of LaGrande runs that, Bishop, and the Union County Chamber, Caitlin, the new uh-huh. person there. And we meet together once a month. And we talk about different things that are going on in the county or how we can help each other, or maybe a business is wanting to move in. And, you know, we don't have a spot for them. Do you have a spot for them? So we do that once a month
mm-hmm.
and spend an hour or two just talking about, you know, how can we help each other to make things better for Union County. We just had a meeting a couple of days ago. And then I'm also on the Public Lands Committee for NACO, which is the National Association of Counties, which is where we're talking about federal law.
Uh-huh.
And obviously we zoom into those because it's people from all over the...
Right.
Once a year we get together in person, but the rest of the time, you know, we call or zoom in together because it's people from all 50 states.
Uh-huh.
And so talking about, you know, laws that we want to pass to help protect public lands, but also be able to use and manage those public lands, not lock them up,
right.
Multi-use. And so I have that meeting on Friday, but I'll be calling into it, and that's like a three-hour meeting. So we do have local stuff going on, but we definitely are part of state representing our county at the state and at the federal level
yeah.
for the things that are important to us. Yep.
So... Let's talk about housing for a minute, because I've spent a fair amount of time trying to get my head around our housing situation, and everybody mm-hmm. is,
okay.
you know, I mean, what the last meeting that I was in, the last commissioner meeting, I mean, there's a housing division, subdivision
mm-hmm.
that's
Devel-
being built in,
yeah.
development
in
Island City.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Is that... And that was an area, I mean, there are nicer homes that are going in those
right.
those areas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there other places? I mean, that's the one thing that's come to my attention
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, there's not, sometimes there's, there's not as many nice lots. Those lots were going mm-hmm. for over $100,000 per lot, just for the lot. But that since we don't have the upper end homes that we need for professionals that are coming in, that's part of the issue that crunches the housing. You know, where else are people, I don't know, just talk to me about generally, where are people
sure.
building houses in the county?
Well, number one, that's most of that housing is going to be in the city limits.
Okay.
When I was listening to the
right.
candidate forum, I was like, okay, yeah, go talk to our planner
right.
about that. And that we do have things like we have the apartment building that the
right.
City of LaGrande just put in.
Right.
And that had 84 units in it, which filled up pretty fast. And so you want housing for different
levels.
Wages. And the one in Island City, people can buy a lot and then build their own house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They can build a small one, a big one, whatever. Nobody's going to tell them what size house
right.
to build. We have a lot of open jobs in Union County, and we have a lot of people that are driving here from Baker, Enterprise, because there's no place to live here.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a catch-22. Let's just say a doctor wants to move here, but he can't find a house to live in. He may not take that job because there's no place for him to live.
Right.
So it's a catch-22, but we want to have housing for all the different people that, you know. But the apartments there in La Grande, those are for working people.
Right.
But it's nice because, you know, there's an area in the middle. So if you have kids, I believe that Head Start is there on the property. So if you have small children, they can go to Head Start without you having to drive them anywhere. But most housing is going to be in a city limits. It's hardly ever going to be in the county. But the state is wanting the counties to relook at, you know, some of the zoning, which we have been doing. Our planning commission has been doing public meetings on that, where they can have a second dwelling on a specific amount of land. And so you'll want to check on what's going on with the planning department. And always remember, the commissioners don't go to the planning department meetings, because if there's ever an appeal, it will come to us.
Yeah.
So that would be a conflict of interest. So we could go if we wanted, but it's not a good idea for us to go, because then we would know too much before if the appeal came to us. And then if we were at those meetings, then the appeal, if it didn't go to us, would have to go to the state of Oregon. And we like to always keep things as local as we can, if possible.
Right.
So that's one reason. But you know, the state is working across the board on a little bit of different zoning, but that is going to come from the state.
Right.
But they are having the different counties have public meetings on some of the changes they're wanting to make.
Yeah, and I spent some time talking to Mike Boquist at La Grande.
Right, which isn't the county. So,
right.
Yeah.
But the reality is that people that want nice homes really want more acreage than a lot. Okay, and so then that does follow, that does fall in the county. I mean, for instance, you know, in Cove, in the Cove, all of that Love Road, all of that area where there's a lot of nice homes up in there, that's all county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then I guess where is that a land available for, you know, houses with, I don't know, 4 or 5 acres, and, you know.
Well, some of that has to do with private, the people that own that land.
Right, right.
So Mike Boquist also probably told you that there's a lot of land that's zoned properly for different uses, but it's not for sale.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
that
yeah,
makes
the
it
land
tough.
Has to be willing to be sold, right?
Right, so that's another situation that a lot of places have, is they'll have land, whether it's industrial or, you know, residential, that might be zoned properly, but the people don't want to sell it. So therefore, it's not available.
Sure.
So that adds to that housing.
Right.
That housing thing.
So what other housing developments, whether in towns or in counties, are happening that you're aware of?
I know in Union, there's probably been 10 new houses built in the last year. Probably the most since I've lived there,
right,
which is my whole life.
So
Union's doing a lot of rezoning. I'm the liaison to Union Cove and North Powder, so I don't. And Elgin, they have a new housing thing. I think I drove over there and looked, and I think there's maybe 10 new houses that have went up in the last year.
Wow.
So there's starting to be some rezoning in some of those towns, too.
Yeah.
To be able to have lots. And, you know, I agree with you, though. Some people want to have, you know, a couple of acres, and I think that that's important if they can, to be able to have a chicken in the backyard or, you know, whatever. But
do you think that, and I don't know the answer to this, I mean, but when a young professional comes in, they're looking for a nicer home, do they want to buy something that's already built, or do they want to build their own?
I think in most cases they want to buy it already built.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody,
if their job starts in a month, you know,
right.
They
and somebody had said that to me also.
Mm-hmm.
That so then that's part of. I mean, I'm trying to get my head around what the issue is, you know. And
well, the issue is all around the whole country.
Right.
I mean, there's probably no place where houses are affordable anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
in my eyes, it's a trickle down effect. There's not enough houses, so you end up with $100,000 lots. You say there's a lot of jobs in the county, but there's not a lot of jobs that where you can afford a $100,000 lot. There's not a lot of jobs open. And then landlords, they raise the prices and the price of the houses all go up because they know there's a crisis going on. So they're taking advantage of it, and it just kind of tumbles. I mean, you got the Moon Motel renting studio rooms for $850.
I saw that.
For one room in a hotel. I mean.
Which hotel?
The Moon.
For $800?
$850 for a month for one room. And I mean, they don't, obviously they aren't renting. I mean, they aren't getting people to stay there, so they're putting it on the market for $850.
Right.
It's like that. That's just in my eyes. That's landowners and homeowners and landlords taking advantage of a situation that is already dire in my eyes.
Yeah. It's definitely a dire situation.
It is.
And there is, but like I said, there is a lot of job openings in Union County. I mean, for the most part, most of the jobs in Union County are fairly well, you know, like the hospital has a lot of job openings, and you know, they pay well. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that's a certain businesses that have openings. I'm going to say pretty much every business in Union County would take more employees.
But a $100,000 lot is very expensive.
It's a lot.
It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
When that same lot 10 years ago was 20.
Well, and what was interesting was the guy that came and presented that to you guys, I mean, you asked some questions like, you know, and he said, maybe one of you said this, that, you know, that Coos Bay, for people that are looking retirement age, they have an income, whatever it might be, and they're looking for a place to live and settle, spots that are getting hit often are Coos Bay and the Grand Ronde Valley.
The city of LaGrande.
Yeah. And
I guess if you went on if you went on the internet for places to retire in Oregon, those are the two top places that come up, LaGrande and Coos Bay. I think it was Coos Bay was
which
the other one.
Which is super interesting. So, but the point is I think, and the guy who was talking about that development, Lester, is that his last name? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and there were several people, you know, they asked, well, who is, you mind telling us who's buying the land or where the people are from? And there were several people from outside the area that were, you know, moving in and building nice homes. So, everybody wants something a little bit different, but you're right. The upper end compresses it along with the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, and like I said, the property owners and landlords know that there's a crisis.
Yeah.
And that's why you see $850 or you see a one bedroom in LaGrande going for $1,100.
Yeah.
You know, like $1,100?
No, I do remember my husband and I about, I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, we were in Boise, and sometimes when they have those open houses, just for the fun of it, we go, you know, look at the open houses. And I'm sure this was at least 5 years ago. And we said, well, how much would just a bare lot be? $200,000.
Yeah, that's
for
crazy.
A bare lot. We're like, are you that's kidding
crazy.
Me?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of, we're slower to get to that, but definitely, you're like you said, it does trickle.
I was talking to one of the GAs at the college, grad assistant, so he's in college, and him and his girlfriend live in a two-bedroom apartment, and they pay $1,600 a month.
Yeah.
Two people.
Where do they live?
And I think the Observer building.
Oh, but I mean they're local here. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right here. $1,600 for a two bedroom. Like, yeah. When I graduated, when I came back to LaGrande, I lived over on Cedar in one of Brenda Jackson's houses. She was the property manager.
Yeah.
And I think five of us lived in there, and I think we paid like $120 each a month.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Things have changed.
Oh, it's so different.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying the commissioners have nothing to do. We have nothing to
Right.
We can't change that.
No, and and I think that
it's
that
like
is,
I can't be elected and be like, I'm gonna change what people
You know. And that certainly is, I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time talking with people about because they have a misconception of how much power a commissioner has. And
well, I believe in less government and more, free market. So definitely, I don't think you want me telling everybody what to do and how to do it. Obviously, I want to make sure that you're safe,
right?
And this is a good place to live and that kind of thing. But the less government interference, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact is there's a lot of things you can't change.
Right.
You can't even give your opinion about because.
Oh, I can give my opinion, but that doesn't mean it would change.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily matter.
Right.
We could just go back to the 1800s where you just do whatever you want. I'd be good with that.
And I'm not trying to be a sob story or anything, but when we first got married, because we want to live in the country, but we bought it was some land, but it had a little tiny house on it, 800 square feet, 2 bedrooms. We had 4 children.
Yeah.
We had one tiny bathroom. We lived there for 13 years till our oldest graduated. We were perfectly fine. We were perfectly happy because, we had a place to sleep. We had a place to eat. I didn't even have a table in my kitchen. It was so tiny.
Yeah.
But I lived there 13...
in a car when I was a kid.
It's a little bit of scrimping probably doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
I think it's good for your character.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. That is, that's a whole nother conversation. But people just have, younger folks have different expectations. You see it all the time where all of my kids drive nicer cars than I do, but that's because I drive junky cars. But still, it's just that's just kind of the way that things have evolved,
But I do know what you're saying with the, sharing with all your, how many were in the house? 5 of you?
What?
5 of you shared a place you rented?
From Brenda.
I have 2 grandsons right now that have 3 roommates, so 5 of them all live in the same house.
Well, that was great. I mean, $120, I'd be beat that. Now you can't even get into, just to get into a place here in LeGrand, you're looking at least, to move in, to even a 1-bedroom, you're looking at least like $3,500 to move in. With first, last deposit,
right.
I don't know.
Well, and I have, I have family and friends on the landlord end, and that is super complicated too.
It is.
You have, because they get, I can't tell you the number of times where they'll have somebody move out and literally they'll have to rebuild the entire, all of the doors or
I remember
the holes
when
in the walls
I first became a commissioner, a sweet little lady in LeGrand calling me and saying, Donna, I'm a landlord and I haven't gotten paid for 3 months and I don't know what to do because I live on the money that I get from my rental.
Right.
She's in her 80s and,
I
felt horrible for her. And at that point, people could stay without paying their rent,
Right.
And so it was, sometimes you can't fix the situation, but looking on both sides of it.
Well, so it's hard to, because there's a lot of property owners that just that. They might not own an apartment or they might not own something, and so they're depending on that rent to pay the mortgage on that property. Yeah.
Or even to live on.
Right,
in this case, the lady used it to live on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's and whether they own it or not, they still have to pay taxes on that.
Right. And then they have to clean it up if it does get torn up.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So
there's both sides of it, but it's a hard situation. I guess what I wanted to say there is as a commissioner, we can't just come in and fix the housing problem. Know what I'm saying? Because it's across the country. And if we could, we sure would, but it's not something that, But definitely looking at, the planning side of it and the way things are zoned and working with the cities. But most of the cities are already working on plans for that. And we're not in charge of that. So I'm very happy with all the cities in Union County. We want to make sure that we have planned growth. We don't want to just be like, we're going to, build all this stuff and not ready for that. It's not planned. It's not who we want to be. We want to make sure we stay who we want to be at the same time that we work on housing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, thank you
for
being with us today. Yeah.
Yep. You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Hey, you want to get us out of here, man?
Let's do it. What is today? The 4th?
Today's the ninth.
That was close. On this day, which is April 9th, 1869, the American Museum of Natural History opens in New York City. 1893, The Critic reports that ice cream soda is America's national drink. They wouldn't say that today. I don't know what it would be today, but in 1893, it was ice cream soda. 1966, Time publishes its Is God Dead issue, and it's the first issue ever without an image.
Huh.
Yeah, the first Time magazine without.
What year was that?
1966. 1989, California Angels pitcher Jim Abbott makes his major league debut. The cool thing about Jim Abbott was he didn't have a right hand.
Huh.
Yeah, he had a special glove that sat on his
I remember snub, watching, yeah.
And he pitched left-handed, and then he'd put the glove onto his pitching hand. That was pretty cool. 2022, the first all-private space flight, Axiom 1, launches to the International Space Station 2 years ago today. Number one movie in America 10 years ago today, Captain America Winter Soldier. And then the quote of the day comes from Keanu Reeves. If you have been brutally broken but still have the courage to be gentle to other living beings, then you're a badass with the heart of an angel. One more time. If you have been brutally broken but still have the courage to be gentle to other living beings, then you're a badass with the heart of an angel. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. All righty.
Yeah.
Good
See
stuff.
You on Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
And I think Chief Bell
Thursday.
From LeGrand is here with us on Thursday. So see you soon.